Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. And today, believe me, we need The Bigger Picture more than we ever needed it before. With my guest, my friend, my co-host, great author, Michael Rakia. His latest book is The Spaces Between, Unseen Forces That Shape Your Life. And if ever there was a planet that looks like unseen forces are shaping everybody's life, this is it. So, good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm doing okay, like everybody else. Just don't know when the next shoe is going to drop and what other madness we'll wake up to when we wake up in the morning.
So many shoes have dropped. We must be centipedes.
I know. I actually made a post last week. I said I went to sleep in 2020 and woke up in 1968.
Yes. Or 1984.
Right. Maybe both. It's just, listen, if the field isn't collapsing at this second, I would be surprised.
It's certainly strengthening, which is alarming. It's certainly strengthening. There is the need for light more than ever. And we need to persuade as many listeners as we can to send out the light on a daily basis, despite appearances. To link to what they actually are and to bring out that true spiritual core and the energy that can change things here.
Right. So let me ask you, I'm sure you're seeing what's going on in America, not just in America. I saw some great shots out of France this morning, out of the UK, people protesting all over the world right now. Do you believe that these people out in the streets are coming from the light, that they're actually fighting for the human soul?
I believe that there's an angry response. I believe that the world population is in a tinderbox at the moment. And I believe that as a result of us being confined, rightly or wrongly, that tempers are simmering just below the surface. And that will erupt. I believe that peaceful protest is the way, that spiritual protest is the way, and I believe above all that spiritual action is the way. And spiritual action can take place from your living room or from your car or from your bed or wherever. And I believe that, as we've said for years, that the only way to diffuse the violence of the world, the ignorance of the world, the power seeking of the world, is to reinstate a spiritual perspective. And that spiritual perspective has been missing for so long. We've replaced our spiritual values with material values, and we have to get back to our spiritual core. And as we said before, this is not a religious thing. It's not a dogma thing. It is simply the nature of what we are. And we are going against our nature. We are ignoring our nature at our peril. And strangely, I was reading The Fall again. I'm reading The Fall because it might sound strange to read my own books, but of course they're not my books. They are Joseph's books. They are the books of the discarnate spirit that use me as a trans medium to bring through essential information for humankind. And I'm reading The Fall again because we're going to put together some YouTube videos about The Fall and to urge people to please read The Fall because it's vitally important at this time, a vitally important piece of spiritual, not literature, spiritual input. And reading it is shocking because it was written in 2012, I beg your pardon. But the brain's going, Maria. 2012. Mm-hmm. And everything that Joseph talks about in the lead into his description of The Fall is now happening. And everything that he said in his books about us having only a finite amount of time left is now happening. But there's always been a caveat with what Joseph has said. It will happen unless we make it change. And we have to rally as many people and ourselves as much as we can at the moment to bring that light in, because the light changes things. The light illuminates the fact that we are not physical beings at all. We are spiritual beings. And we have to honor, we have to acknowledge that spirituality, or we've had it.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned that, but I did have a question from one of our listeners, which I think fits into what you're saying. She says, I've been thinking about Michael's book, The Spaces Between, where Joseph says, if you want to stop the violence through nature, stop the violence through mankind. She said, all things considered, does that think that we should be expecting some big natural disasters in the future?
If we continue along the path that we are walking at the moment, and we don't treat each other and the planet and world situations from a spiritual perspective, then we are heading for disaster. Now, how that disaster will come is unknown, or hasn't been made clear by Joseph. And he's often said, I'm not going to tell you how, because if I tell you how, you will solidify it.
Right.
You will say, ah, that's what's going to happen. You will add your vibration and belief to it, and you will hasten the end by those means. I mean, who would have thought just a few short weeks ago that the world could have been brought to a standstill by a virus?
Right.
So what happens is we think in a certain way, we act in a certain way, we treat the field in a certain way, we infuse the field with a certain vibration, certain qualities, and then as a result, symptoms of what's wrong with us come to the surface. So what's happening globally at the moment is a symptom of what's wrong. It's not the cause of what's wrong, it's a symptom of what's wrong. And what is wrong is our throwing out of any spiritual aspect to our lives. We are going against ourselves. We are a house divided against ourselves. And until we reunite the two halves of our being, the physical side and the spiritual side, disasters like the current ones, situations like the current ones, and upcoming situations will present themselves, because they are... they're not visited upon us. They are a result of us thinking and acting and living in a certain way. Once we think and act and live in a different way, in a spiritual way, and we treat the planet and all life here with respect, things will change, but not until.
Right. Well, it surely looks like things are coming at us fast and furious. It's like every day there's something.
One after another.
It's like every day there's some new horror, you know. I think I told you before the show, I feel like I went to sleep in 2020 and woke up in 1968.
Yes, indeed.
Because we get the same lessons because we don't learn from them.
Absolutely. They come back to, as you say, lessons is an excellent word, because they come back to teach us a different way. Not to condemn us, not to bring us to our knees, but to say this isn't the way to act. Can you see what you're doing? If you act in a different way, if you think in a different way, if you react to each other and to the planet and to life in a different way, you restore harmony. Mm. It's only this little backwater of the universe where this happens, Maria, according to Joseph, and I have no reason to disagree with him.
Right.
On other spheres, in other worlds, we visit those other worlds that we've created as the angelic beings that we really are. We visit them to experience, to enrich our experience that we take back to the Godhead. But of course, here we trapped ourselves in. Mm. We shut off spiritual communication. And as a result of that, we suffer. But nobody's making us suffer except us.
Right.
When we switch that switch back to an acknowledgement of our spirituality, then things elevate, things become harmonious, we raise the vibration of the planet and each other, and this again becomes a planet, a sphere where we can experience in joy. Not in horror, not in pain, but experience as we were supposed to experience here when we first created the Earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's a lot of people and a lot of phonies out there, a lot of phony groups that are promising people that we're going to get help from unseen beings. We're going to get help, whether they believe it's aliens, they're going to come and save us. All kinds of crazy stuff, you know, oh, we're going to fight, you know, these people are fighting the deep state, blah, blah, blah. I just keep reminding people that we're the ones we've been waiting for. There's no one coming to save us. What do you think?
No. Well, I absolutely agree with you. There is free will throughout the universe. It is a constant. We are allowed to make up our own minds about how we act, the actions that we take. And as a result of free will, we got ourselves into this mess. Mm-hmm. And through free will, we have to get ourselves out of this mess. You know, I find it quite amusing that these unseen beings remain unseen. You know?
Right.
If unseen beings are guiding us, aliens, for example, are guiding us, and I'm not decrying the existence of aliens because the whole universe is alive, but if aliens were truly helping us, there would be one on the White House lawn in a big mothership this morning.
Exactly.
Not saying, oh, my dear children, everything's fine and we're walking by your side. The unseen beings remain unseen. And they remain unseen from my point of view because they ain't there.
Well, obviously they're not. I just don't understand why it's so hard for people to realize exactly what I just said, that we are the ones we've been waiting for. It's up to us. There's no one coming. We're it.
It's because we push responsibility always onto something else, some organization, some other human beings. And in most cases, we say, tell me what to do. Well, what do you want to do? Mm. It's your responsibility. You can't shuffle off responsibility and say we're in a mess, so somebody else take us out of that mess and take care of it for us. We are responsible, as we've been saying, we're here for us. We got ourselves into this. We've got to get ourselves out of it. And the thing is, with physical eyes and physical senses, you look at the world and think, how on earth can we get out of it? But with spiritual eyes and spiritual senses, the solution is simple. And the solution has been brought to us by all the master spirits that have tried to teach us down the ages and have been ignored. Love each other. Bring light into the world. Have respect for each other and all forms of life. Understand that we are all connected to each other and each a part of the divine. And once we build that, rebuild that, remember what we are, rebuild that into our daily lives, everything changes. As we've said on this program before, if everybody on earth did that now and let go of the power seeking and let go of the self-importance and let go of the ego, things would change tonight. Mm. Everything would be back to spiritual normal, not the normal that we knew before this lot. We'll be back to spiritual normal overnight. But as people have said before, you don't believe, and so it remains as it is.
Right. Well, you know, in your book, The Spaces Between, you say that when creativity dies, the planet dies.
Yes.
I'm not saying too
much. Because we are creative beings.
Right. I'm not saying too much creativity out there. I mean, you know, here we have a world that's basically on fire from one end to the other. And the little bit of creativity where we, you know, sent two astronauts off on SpaceX, no one even had time to pay attention to that or appreciate it.
Well, we are still creating. This is the thing that people don't realize. We are creative beings, as the angelic beings that we really are. We create all the time. But we create perfectly the world that we believe to be true and the world that we invest our time and energies into. So we are creating tomorrow what we believe to be true today. So we don't stop creating. It's just that we always create or tend to always create on the negative side. Mm. What we need now is a groundswell of creating and visualizing on the positive side. To see and therefore believe in and therefore create the world that we all want. Mm-hmm. We want, or we should want, a world that is harmonious. We want, or we should want, a world that is peaceful. We want, or we should want, a world where everyone gets on with everyone else. We want, or we should want, a world where there is equality. We want, or we should want, a world where the planet is not harmed in any way and we live in harmony with it. Mm-hmm. We want, or we should want, a world where there is no cruelty to nature. So we have to see those things. Right. We have to dream, visualize, believe those things in our meditative times. And we should be building. I mean, we have every excuse to build a meditation time into our lives at the moment. And during those times, we should be joining together in spirit, in oneness, and visualizing, creating, and accepting, and believing the world that we want. Mm. And, you know, we should turn off the news. We should turn off the media. We should stop investing in what we're told to believe in and start believing in spiritual truths. And then we turn the tide. Then we change things. And in that respect, what's happening currently is an opportunity. We have brought ourselves to the edge, and it's an opportunity to do things differently, if we will only recognize it. But as we've said for years, Maria, we have to act. We have to do something. It isn't anyone else's responsibility. We're in charge of ourselves, and we have to change. And we have to work to change. And nobody's going to do it for us except us.
Exactly. We are it. That's what I keep telling people. I wanted to get back to SpaceX for a minute. You know, I watched it on TV, like I'm sure, you know, many people did. And, you know, I have to tell you, my first thought is always the same. Man should never be allowed off this planet.
Yes.
What does Joseph think about that? As we strive to, you know, put weapons in space now and the space force and the rest of it.
This is the thing. Joseph in his books has said, and it harks back to aliens, and Joseph says, look, the universe is alive. There are other angelic beings in physical form living on other worlds, but you put yourself in such a mess that there's a no-fly zone around you. You are isolated in that it's not a good idea for any of these beings to visit you currently until you sort yourselves out. And that there is a quarantine. It's strange that there's a quarantine around the world at the moment because there's also a quarantine around the solar system and the planet. There's a big keep-out sign until we've sorted ourselves out. And there's quarantine because, as you say, we go into space and what do? Are we going into space in peace and harmony? No, we're developing weapons. We're developing ways to irradiate ourselves. We're taking our pollution outwards, which we will do until we change our dominant vibrations. So let's get things right here first before we expand. Let's get things right here and put the world right and put our thinking right. Then everything else follows.
Right. Well, I just keep on thinking that, you know, when you look at, you know, now we want to mine the moon, we want to mine Mars, the craziness. When you look at how humans have destroyed this planet, I honestly believe they should never be allowed off.
No.
Because we just to create trash wherever we are.
Certainly not in their current form and with their current... We have had an easing of the lockdown rules here in the UK over the last weekend. Mm-hmm. And people have gone out into beauty spots and people have put onto beaches. And they have left litter, pollution, destruction, empty beer bottles, plastics. And you have just had weeks and weeks to contemplate what you really are. You had weeks and weeks in isolation to look at the next stage for yourselves, to contemplate how you relate to the planet, how you relate to each other. And you take it out again, the first chance you get, and you pollute and you destroy.
Mm-hmm.
We, as I said in our last show, this virus situation has been a shot across our bows. Now, the next shot is one that aims to be on target. We have to change. We have to change. There's no time for pleasant words anymore. We have to change. We have to accept our responsibility. We have to accept our spirituality. And we have to work from that spirituality now, today. There's no time left.
Right. Well, you know, here where I live, now that you mentioned the people being released into the wild. I live in the middle of the largest ponderosa pine trees in the world. The biggest ponderosa pine forest in the world.
Wow.
And they had the forest closed, not only because of the quarantine, but also because of high fire danger. And then they opened the forest. And the very first weekend, there were tons, literally tons, of garbage left behind. So then they shut the forest again. So if people can't appreciate nature, you know, and remember that the only thing they should leave behind is footprints, I really just don't see, I hate to be a negative, but I just don't see the human race surviving.
Not unless we change. Not unless we change. The time has passed for soft talk, hasn't it? We can only give one message, and that message has got to be, examine your spirituality. Mm-hmm. Live from your spirituality. Meditate. Send out light. Realize what you are. Investigate your connection to the divine. Investigate the next life. Investigate your place in the universe and work from that perspective. Start to love. Start to work from the spirit that you are rather than the ego that surrounds you. And in that way, you liberate yourself and you liberate everyone else. But the time to do it, as we've said for years, but more than ever, the time to do it is now.
Right, exactly now. You know, I can't tell you how many times I repeat or I post a lot of what you and Joseph have to say in your books, just as a reminder to people. And I just keep trying to remind people that you're here building your next house.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm sure you can tell that I've been flipping a lot of people over to your site for all your books, because I don't even specifically recommend one or two at a time now. I just tell people buy them all. You know, I think about your life after death, because there's so many people dying now. It seems to me there's more people dying now than ever before. And I think we mentioned a little bit on our last show that a lot of people have changed their soul contract just to get out of here now.
Yes, yes. And we have people dying not just from the virus or whatever you want to call it, but we have people dying because they've been locked in. We have people who have committed suicide. We have people whose relationships have gone sour. We have that there's a lady up the street from us who is terrified. She's in her 80s. She's not allowed to leave her home. She can't sleep. And we are creating a bigger and bigger mess every day. Yes. Also, one of the guiding influences that works with us said, you know, it's like we have to have troop transports now. I mean, we've talked about the boat in various shows, haven't we, Maria? The construct, which is one of many that takes people across to the other side. Mm-hmm. And it's necessary as a construct because people don't believe that they can instantly transport on physical death to where they are supposed to be in the spiritual spheres. And this particular guy came through to say, we've had to have a bigger boat.
Right.
You know the expression, we need a bigger boat. Mm-hmm. Well, they've had to make the boat bigger, which of course they can do instantly through thought and through creative process, spiritual creative process, because of the amount of people that are going over. My hope is that those people who are going over will decide that where they have come from has been such an alarming ride that there is no way that they're going to come back, and that they will instead move on through the spiritual cleansing spheres and out the hatch and into infinity and back into the consciousness of the angelic beings that they really are.
Absolutely. I mean, even when I see so many, you know, famous people dying, it just seems like so many, more than usual.
Yes.
What I do is when I send them Reiki for their journey, I also remind them, never come back. So whoever it is that dies, that's like my last thing I say to them or for them, is never come back. When I tell people that reincarnation is a trap, they're super surprised, like it's a bad thing to know that they shouldn't come back here.
I think it's, again, it's something that's being reinforced as a belief, isn't it? If you say anything often enough, then people believe it. Mm-hmm. And so people have been told that reincarnation is the way that things are, and so they believe it. But it is against all spiritual logic. Right. And it's one of the first things that Joseph brought through as information. As he started coming through me, the fact that free will is a constant throughout the universe. So if free will is a constant, why do we have to come back? If through free will we can say, I'm not coming back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. What does make sense is what Joseph says about the earth being such an attractive place. We don't investigate what comes next. And so to many of us, because our spiritual memories are buried deep within us, when we get to the other side, we're not prepared for it. And we miss instantly the things of the earth. Mm-hmm. And we want the things of the earth because those are the only things, the material things, the sensations, the emotions that we've considered. So it is time for us to investigate the what comes next. And also, wouldn't it be great if upon arriving on that side, you can imagine there's a queue, and there's a queue where people are actually allowed to stand next to each other again.
Right.
But there are big signs. There are big signs along the path that say, don't come back. And the next sign, just like a cartoon, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, the next sign says, this means you.
Right.
And the next sign says, are you listening to us? Don't come back. Keep moving.
Well, I think that, you know, here, you know, we have so many people that, because of religion, believe that this life is all there is. So they live this life as if this life is all there is. And they don't believe in what we're talking about. They don't believe that the soul is eternal. They don't believe that energy transforms. They don't believe there's life after death. You know, every now and then you get a little cue that there is life after death. And I wanted to share a story that happened to me the other day with you, Michael. I had this really good friend. I've been friends with him and his wife, 22 years. A nice Italian man, James Panabianco.
Lovely name.
I know. And
Very lyrical.
He's 87 years old. And then he got really sick. The past year he's been really sick. And then really bad dementia. So he ended up in a hospice last week. From the moment he went into the hospice, I was sending him Reiki and telling him to get out of his body. And what was really interesting is, you know, I talked to his wife pretty much every day to see, you know, where he's at, you know, how far is this thing going to drag out. And interestingly enough, Monday, I was doing my new show. And, you know, I have a very quiet house. I have a door closed in my office. And I would say about 40 minutes into the show, I hear this loud bang. And it stunned me, okay? I was actually stunned. I took a pause on the show just to see if something fell, you know, did something crash down, did, you know, whatever the hell was that noise? And I found nothing. So I went back, finished my show. And at the end of the show, I got a call a couple hours later from his wife telling me that he had passed at 10 that morning. So I went back and looked at my counter on my audio, and that bang was about 10:20.
Yeah.
And I even had my granddaughter listen to it, so I knew I wasn't hallucinating. And I realized that he had come to say goodbye. That was his way of saying goodbye.
And it's one of the things, it happens so frequently, and it happens to mediums and non-mediums. If people would look for it, they will find that whenever a close friend or a relative goes, they do come to say goodbye. It's happened to me on numerous occasions. A good friend of mine was killed in a motorway accident a few years ago. And I was sitting one night watching the television, and suddenly there was this beautiful, clear, sweet peal of a bell by my ear. And my mother was with me at the time, and we both looked towards the corner of the room where it had come from. And the following morning, a mutual friend rang me with the news to say at that time, he'd gone. On another occasion, I was standing at the top of the stairs, and my cousin, who died years ago, suddenly came in as a spirit through the front door, wheeling his trademark green rally bike next to him, stood at the bottom of the stairs, looked up at me, and then disappeared. And the phone rang almost immediately afterwards to tell me that his father, father had died at that precise time. The bang that you heard, I once heard a tremendous bang in one of my front rooms many years ago, came down, I thought, one of the bookcases has fallen over. It can only be that. There was nothing out of place.
Right.
But then the following day, I was informed that one of my uncles in Italy had died. So it is something that people can look for, because there will always be a goodbye. It's as though the person that's going reaches out to all the people that he or she loves and says goodbye to them at the moment that they pass.
Right, and then even more interesting. Well, I did share this with his wife, and she was actually comforted by it. But what's even more interesting, which I did not know, is that he wanted me to do his eulogy.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
So, you know, I wrote it up. I sent it to his wife. I said, if there's anything, you know, you want me to change or whatever. She said it was absolutely perfect, exactly what she and he would have wanted.
That's great.
So, you know, I'm happy about that. But, you know, I also know that pets do the same thing when they leave. They come to say goodbye. For some reason,
Yes. People
don't think animals are capable of doing that. But I've experienced that myself.
Yes, and so have I on occasion as well. There was a cat that, I've probably mentioned this before because I'm very old, Maria, and repeat myself all the time. But there was a cat that came to me during a very traumatic time in my life many, many decades ago. And as I was coming out of this situation, she would stay with me all the time. She was more like a dog than a cat. She would sit on my lap for hours on end, didn't want to go out. She wanted to be with me. And one evening, she jumped onto my lap, and I heard the word goodbye. And then she jumped off again. She went out for her evening prowl, didn't come back that night, and we found her body the following day. On another occasion, my Cairn Terrier, who was diabetic, and I'd asked her whether she wanted to go, and she said yes, and unfortunately had to be taken to the vets because she was in a terrible state. The night after she passed, after I took her to the vets, I was woken up at about 3 o'clock in the morning by her distinct bark next to me.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, absolutely, animals have intelligence, which sort of brings us to, if animals have such intelligence and we are too silly, too stupid to understand that intelligence, shouldn't we be treating them with respect and not abuse?
Right, exactly. Well, there's I always say that the way we treat animals, eventually people treat people. And
yeah.
You could certainly see that playing itself out all over the planet right now. Michael, we need to take a short break. Stay with us. Michael and I will be right back.
Hi, this is Monica Sepulveda of Wake Up with Maria and Monica. You can hear our show every third Tuesday. And we give you tools, solutions, and the way to change your life forever. Each morning you can either choose fear, worry, hate, anger, or you can just choose love, which balances everything and changes the trajectory of your life. Maria's show is so amazing. You need to tell another person. For the small amount of money that you pay for a subscription and the value that you receive in return with her guests who are unmatched, with her wisdom, with her reports of what's happening on this planet, how to change it, and with that sense of humor, oh my gosh. Her Reiki sessions blow my mind. Every time she has sent me some Reiki, it works. I heal. And I'm just blown away by this old soul, Maria. I'm glad to call her my friend. I hope that you book a session with her for a Reiki session or for a reading, because you will not be disappointed. But most important, tell a friend about her show. Take care and make it a great day. It's a choice, you know. Bye.
Welcome back to The Bigger Picture with myself and Michael Reiki. If you're not familiar with his work, get over to josephspeaks.com. I recommend you start with The Fall and just keep going till you're done with all these books. You know, I keep reminding people, Michael, that the most important thing they can do right now, especially to stay in balance, is to work their spiritual program. If ever there was a time where people need to work their spirituality multiple times a day, now is that time.
Yes, yes. To connect to that greater power, to connect to the greater self. And I suppose some listeners will say, well, what's the greater self? Well, the greater self is the sum of what we have been and what we are. There's only a portion of us down here that's suffering, on foot, you know. And we can tap into our accumulated angelic knowledge. And we do that by becoming quiet and becoming still and asking of ourselves from the heart, not from the head, what we should do in certain situations. And asking the higher self, which is us, which is part of us, to help. And help invariably comes. We should also be taking time to connect to the divine within, to acknowledge the divine within, not to shut out that power that can guide us, that can heal us, that can uplift us. All the answers are there inside us. Mm. All the universe is there inside us, and we're used to looking outside. As you say, this is an excellent time, and we should be looking inside constantly. And we should be saying, well, we don't know what we're doing. But you do, higher self, you do, divinity, mm-hmm. guide me.
Right.
Show me the next step.
Well, I liked when I read in your book, and we discussed it a little before, looking at the world when you wake up and saying, what does the God within me choose to do today? Recognizing that makes a big difference than, you know, waking up and cursing your alarm clock and saying, what shit happened last night while I was sleeping?
And what can I do? What can I do for someone else? You know, who needs my help? If someone needs my help, divinity, then lead me to that person. If they don't, that's also fine. I will put out light and energy into the world. I will love the world better. I will lighten the world. I will be the best me that I possibly can be when I interact with people. I will appreciate the people around me. I will seek to step back from angry situations. I will seek to step down from tension. And we're all in a tense and angry, potentially angry situation at the moment. But we can diffuse those points. And those points are where the field gathers strength. Because anger begets anger. Anger strengthens anger globally. Mm. So we have to be different. We have to remember that we're angelic. We might be sitting here in a little front room with a TV dinner watching the television, but we're angels. We're more than that. And we're bigger than that. And we're bigger than the petty things that we let rule our lives. We're bigger than the resentments. We're bigger than the looking at someone and saying they are inferior to me. I am better than them. And we are bigger than the power-seeking and always-seeking security. We're so much bigger than that. As angels, we can't be damaged. You know, you can take away the physical body, but you don't take away the angelic being.
Right.
We are eternal. We are immortal. Mm-hmm. And if we lived from that standpoint, I'm not talking about being reckless physically, but if we lived from the standpoint of, I can go into this situation in love and cannot be harmed, then we diffuse so many negative situations. And again, the world would change.
Right. Well, you know, when I look at the crowds in America right now, and because, you know, like you, I'm an old guy, I remember the 60s. I was there in the middle of the race riots in New York. The biggest difference I see is people of all color marching together. You didn't see that in the 60s. You know, hard pressed to see a lot of white people defending black people's rights or vice versa. And now you see people of all colors out in the streets worldwide. And, you know, I want to be optimistic and say that this is a good sign.
Yes, yes. And it brings home that, you know, I mean, I've got books on a bookshelf and they've all got different covers, but each one is equally exciting and has an equally exciting story to tell. It is so limiting to view ourselves simply in terms of the shell that we're wearing in order to experience here. And to say that one shell is better than another shell, one shell is preferable to another shell. It is so limiting and so illogical. So yes, it's good that we've got people of many colors, you know, And our true colors are spiritual colors.
Right.
Our true color is the brilliance that we have within us.
Mm-hmm.
And color is totally irrelevant when evaluating someone across the world, when evaluating souls across the world. Totally meaningless. We have to grow up from this.
Right.
We have to get past this. And let's hope that we are going some way to doing that at the minute.
Well, and another good, I see it as positive. Between the coronavirus and now we see these protests around the world. I'm not going to call them riots. People are waking up to the fact of the criminality of their own individual governments, the things that they have depended on. It's almost as if the curtain's been pulled and it's all being exposed. And I think that part of that is also what people are protesting, is the lies and the illusions and the controls that we've been living under while very few people are benefiting by it.
Yes, and we have to find, each of us has to find our personal voice, our spiritual voice, and to be strong enough to say, no, I do not believe in this. No, this goes against my view of the world. No, this is unjust. No, this is wrong, and I will speak out against it. And each of us has to take responsibility and speak out against that which we believe to be wrong and say there is a different way, and to live by example and to show that example in the way that we approach people and the way that we approach the world. And that example will spread, but we have to do something. We cannot be sheep. We have to realize that we are unique. Each of us is a unique angelic being and has the right to live spiritually and to approach other people spiritually and justly, and the right to expect from society a spiritual aspect and a just aspect and a respect. So it is time for us to be vocal and to be spiritually active. As we've said, you can be spiritually active at any time of day. And the more times per day you are spiritually active, the bigger a difference you make. So stick to those angelic principles. Stick to that love that you are sending out. Stick to that light that you are sending out. Stick to that elevated way that you treat everyone and treat yourself. It is the right way. It is the only way. And everything else must step aside.
Absolutely. I mean, isn't that the basic tenet of pretty much every religion, is to love your neighbor as you love yourself?
Yes.
I mean, it all boils down to that. We're not really seeing too much of that love coming out of these religions.
Because again, they seek to control through fear or lust for power. They seek to control. But it is the same message. Joseph's message is the same message that we've been handed down the ages by elevated spirits. Love yourselves, love each other, love the planet, love all aspects of life here, and harmony follows, and you're living in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking earlier about not being able to many people not being able to see the spirits that come to visit us. If we lived more harmoniously and spiritually minded, in a more spiritually minded way, many more people would see those spirits, because the thick barrier that we have put between our vibration as physical beings and our vibration as angelic beings would loosen, would become lighter, would become transparent. And as a matter of course, we would be able to converse with people who are on higher vibrations of reality. And what a change that would make.
Oh, for sure.
That would change the entire face of the world.
Absolutely. Well, you know, in your book, In the Spaces Between, you talk about that every soul has to find their own way out.
Yeah.
You know, for some reason, people think, you know, groups are going to help each other on a spiritual journey. But I've always taught people that the spiritual journey is singular. You pick up, you know, companions along the way. They'll walk with you down the road a little piece, but then they drop off and go where they need to go. So when you say every soul has to find its own way out, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, we connect with people who are of our vibration. We harmonize with and attract people who are of our vibration. And so as we elevate ourselves, we do connect with people who are like-minded, and the like-hearted, I should say, heart-minded. And as we progress through the spiritual spheres, we then form a stronger bond with like-minded people, with like-minded souls. And that is how group souls come together. As we progress, we find that it is wonderful to have times of isolation, which we are entitled to because we have free will, but also times when we can connect with hundreds, perhaps millions of like-minded souls to engage in spiritual projects and to exchange knowledge, exchange experience. And there's a great delight in that. So we do naturally grow closer to people who are like us. We have to make sure, however, that people like us are what we want from life, you know? We can't expect to be self-serving and power-seeking and materialistic and manipulative and deceitful and then attract around us people who are of a lighter and more spiritual vibration. We will attract exactly the same types of people that we are at this time. And of course, that's what happens in the lower astral, in that if we have been all those negative things and have not relinquished those negative aspects of our personality to the extent that we have damaged people and damaged the world and damaged life, then until we grow out of that vibrationally and accept a different way, we find ourselves with people who are just like us. So all the things that we've tried to hide perpetuate in ourselves that are negative, we are surrounded by until such time as we grow out of, relinquish those things and seek the light, seek a lighter and a higher vibration.
Right. Well, all you have to do to prove what you just said was look at the crowd in Washington, D.C., you know, you look at the president who surrounded himself by people just like him, you know, racist, hateful people who want control, they want power, who don't put everybody else's benefit into their equation. It doesn't matter to them. Let's gas our own people. And yet then you can see, you know, people that are really loved. You know, just take this man I talked to you about. You know, he was just an ordinary man, Mr. Panabianco. He was just an ordinary man, but I guarantee you his funeral's going to be packed because he loved everybody. He, you know, listen, you know how we Italians are. He fed everybody. Yeah. He was a cook. He had his own restaurant. You know, as soon as you walk in the house, you're eating, you're drinking. You know how it is with Italians. And it reminded me of what my father used to say, you know, when we were kids, you know, and everybody wanted heroes. And my father said something that reminded me of Jimmy. He said that the real hero is the man who gets up every day and goes to work to support his family. So, you know, you look at and you can see, you know, we've all heard the expressions, you know, birds of a feather stick together, you know, like attracts like. I mean, I don't know how many times you have to say the same thing. So what you want in your life, you know, the people around you are reflective of who you are. You know, my mom used to say that all the time. Show me your friends and I'll show you what you are. So, you know, there's always opportunity for people to help people in many different ways. It doesn't have to be monetary help. You know, you asked me at the beginning of the show, when's the last time you took a day off? I haven't, okay? I haven't taken a day off because I love the world enough to know the times call for me to keep telling people the truth because there isn't very few places where people can hear the truth. And
to show a different way.
Exactly. You know, years ago, some station producer said to me that you're the only person out there giving out the news with spiritual views. But if you don't see from inside yourself, then you fall for the outside drama and you buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Yes, you have to discover the inner universe. As Joseph says, everything that appears to be happening outside of ourselves isn't. It is a projection. It is a mass projection. so that we can experience this level of consciousness. But it's all taking place inside ourselves. And so that's where we have to tackle it. We have to go first within. We have to find that light within, and then we have to send that light out into the greater illusion and change the greater illusion by the strength of the light that we send out and the strength of our beliefs and visualizations and love. And there is no other way. There never will be any other way.
Right.
You know, the negative situations, the power-seeking situations, will come to an end. They will come to an end in a good way, or they will come to an end in a cataclysmic way, but they will come to an end because they cannot sustain themselves. They don't have light in them. And situations that have light in them perpetuate. And it is that perpetuation of light-filled situations and a light-filled scenario for this world that we have to work towards. So, yes, it's very good that you said that what your father said about the man who earns for his family. We at this time have to look after our spiritual family, and we have to make sure that we bring home what that spiritual family needs. And what that spiritual family needs is not deception or manipulation or power-seeking. It is light. It is spirituality. It is a spiritual perspective. It is love. And if we bring that home every night, then we are doing our job on earth.
Exactly. Well, you know, you talk about, of course, in the book, you know, people look for the God without instead of the God within. And when I read that, I had to take pause, because I want to share a story with you. We have a few minutes. Years ago, I used to write for a lot of New Age type magazines. And as a teacher of the Medicine Wheel, I had written this article about the Medicine Wheel, and it got published, and it was a nationwide magazine. And one night I got a call from a Native American man in Kentucky. And he had seen my article, and he had a lot of questions. And he said, "The first thing I want to ask you, though, is where did you get this information?" And I told him, "From within and without." And he said, "That's how I know it's true."
Ah.
So, you know, to Native Americans, you know, they understand within and without. It's hard for regular people to understand what they mean by that. But I thought, you know, he was calling to harass me, but ended up complimenting me. So I was like, wow, shoo, ducked another bullet. Because even, you know, teaching Native American spirituality, a lot of Native Americans took offense because I wasn't Native American. But I said, well, I was born here too, so that makes me a Native American. And I never claimed to be a Native American. I just remind them that all our blood runs red. And to me, of course, their spirituality was the cleanest I have found in my entire life, because religion certainly didn't do it for me, that I can tell you.
For me.
Right. So, I mean, listen, you're the ultimate. You're the ultimate example of within and without, you know, producing Joseph's work the way you have at, you know, quite a cost to yourself. You know, this work is not easy. So I know you've done what you've done from love.
Yes, as you say, we do it from love. We do it because there is no other choice. What other choice in conscience could we make? And in conscience, we have to say there is a different way. Please examine it. The difficult thing is getting people en masse to examine it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have been so conditioned by society and by their physical life that they find it very difficult to make the leap and to investigate spirituality. That's the difficulty we have. I think you'd agree with that in many cases.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, but don't forget, they've also been programmed to believe what they've been taught to believe without questioning.
That's right. They've been programmed to take their place in society, and we're trying to persuade them to think outside the box. And it is difficult. I realize it's difficult for them, but our not grief at this time, but our upset at this time is saying, look, just look how the world is. There is another way. It works. We're not doing this for financial reward. We're not doing this for spiritual reward. We're doing this to free you. Please examine what we're saying. You owe it to yourself. Don't do it for us. You owe it to yourself.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, you know, everybody's soul is responsible for itself.
Yes.
So anyway, well, hopefully, ever the optimist, the next time we talk, things will be better. Somewhat.
Oh, we're
better.
Still here, Maria. We're
I know. Here. We are still here, and at least you're free to go get a haircut now.
Yes, actually, Jane's been cutting my hair. I was quite frightened about that at the beginning, but it turned out okay in the end.
Well, please give him my love, and we'll talk soon, Michael.
You take good care of yourself, Maria, and thank you.
You're welcome. Michael Rakia, check out his work, josephspeaks.com. I've been following him on his YouTube channel if you want to see him. He's pretty awesome. I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the show and for staying sane, because your sanity helps me stay sane. Listen, I know these are rough times for all of us, but like my mama used to say, sometimes you got to go through hell to get to heaven. So I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.